So this morning I want to talk with you about a particular theme that's called the joy of discipleship. Joy. It's a central theme in the Acts of the Apostles from where we heard that passage today. We hear that Philip goes to the city in Samaria and there was much joy in that city. Joy. A theme that we see throughout the scriptures. A theme that comes to us that as we grow in knowing the presence of God in our lives, real joy comes into our hearts because we know, as John says in the 15th chapter of his gospel, in quoting Jesus, when we abide in Jesus, we come to know joy. When the Spirit of God is alive within us, one of the blessings of the Holy Spirit is joy. Joy comes when we understand more and more that we are not attached to things, we are attached to a person, that person being Jesus Christ. Joy is the sign of the presence of God in one's life. To be a disciple is to be someone who is growing more and more into that place of knowing the joy of the Holy Spirit. In today's epistle, Peter gives us an insight into how it is we cultivate a life of joy when he says, "In your hearts, sanctify Christ as Lord." The heart is that most intimate part of what it is to be human. The heart is connected to our soul, and it is here that the essence of who we are and the essence of who we are becoming is shaped. St. Peter invites us to set apart Christ as Lord, to make him most important. Another version of the same verse puts it a little differently. It reads like this: "Through thick and thin, keep your hearts at attention, in adoration before Christ, your master." I like that. Through thick and thin, keep your hearts at attention. Stay alert, be awake, in adoration before Christ, your master. People who are choosing the way of joy understands what the church means when in today's collect we prayed, "May we celebrate with heartfelt devotion these days of joy." The days of the resurrection are days of joy. These are those days that we can celebrate with heartfelt devotion. And this is expressed as we give attention to Christ, our master. One of the people I'm coming to appreciate more and more because he understands so deeply the spiritual life is St. Ignatius of Loyola, the 16th century priest who founded the Jesuits. And one of the things that St. Ignatius was so committed to was helping people to grow in spiritual formation. And a couple of weeks ago, I came across for the first time when I was on retreat what St. Ignatius calls his first principle. In modern language, we would call this first principle a life mission statement. What is going to be the focus? What is going to be the purpose of our lives? And so I want to share with you now St. Ignatius's first principle. God created human beings to praise, reverence, and serve God, and by doing this, to save their souls. People who understand the reason for their lives will know joy. Why? Because they have a clarity about why they are here and where they are going. I called this homily the joy of discipleship. A disciple is someone who is learning to live a disciplined life, is learning to live an ordered life. And St. Ignatius speaks to us about three dimensions of discipleship. A disciple is someone who is praising God. A disciple is someone who is reverencing God. And thirdly, a disciple is someone who is serving God. And when we understand that this is at the very essence of what it is to be human, then as St. Ignatius goes on to say, we will cooperate with Jesus in the salvation of our souls. And so this morning, in thinking about these three dimensions of Ignatius's first principle, to praise, revere, and serve God, I want to unpack the readings that we just heard, because each of them speaks to these three dimensions of St. Ignatius's first principle. In Acts and the Psalm, there is an understanding of praise. In that reading from 1 Peter, he speaks specifically about reverence. And in the Gospel, Jesus teaches us something about what it means to serve. In that reading from Acts, we're told that those in Samaria had been baptized in the name of Jesus, but they had not yet received the Holy Spirit. To be baptized in the name of Jesus meant that they understood that what Jesus did on the cross was that he bought for them their salvation. But now there was a need for them to receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And here in Acts chapter 8, we have the first confirmation service, where Peter and John go to Samaria. They lay hands on the believers there, and they receive the Holy Spirit. Now, what does this mean? And as I was thinking about it, I want to present to you an analogy. This is the time of year when Calgarians say, "Oh, good, there's no more frost in the ground." And they all head out to, or many do, to garden centers. And at those garden centers, what do? They purchase flats of flowers and plants. They buy them. But then, upon bringing them home, do they just leave them in the flats? No, of course not. What you then have to do is you take those flowers, those plants that you have bought, you plant them in your garden, you plant them into planters, and then they have that room to begin to grow and to become the kind of plant that they were intended to be. And they can adorn your yard, they can adorn your deck with their beauty. Similarly for the Christian, we are baptized in the name of the Trinity, and through our baptism we understand that Jesus has bought us. We are now his. However, there has to be room for the Holy Spirit to work in our souls. And people in whom the Spirit is at work are able to be like those young plants. They are given room. They are given the conditions to mature and become beautiful. Now, I know plants cannot think in the way that we can. At least I don't think they can. But there's something about a plant that exudes joy by the very essence of what it is. As it continues to grow, as it continues to shoot out those blossoms, the very thing that a plant is to be in mid-July, in a sense, is an illustration of what we are meant to be. We are meant to be in union with God. And as we understand more and more what it means to praise God, to give glory to God, there's something quite remarkable. God delights in our praise. Somehow this does something to the heart of God. Just like for us, when we're sitting on our deck and we're surrounded by our flowers, they do something for us, that the praise of the plant lifts our souls. And so we need to appreciate at the very heart of what it is to be Christian, is to understand that like those plants, we have been formed by God to be people who are continually growing and praising him. Today's psalm also speaks of this beautiful expression of praise. Make a joyful noise to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Give to him glorious praise. Now, there are other places in the psalms that, as here where it says, all of the earth give glory to God. We need to appreciate that birds praise God by their bird song. My canine, Bichon Frise, praise God by the very essence of what it is to be a dog. We praise God in a most particular way when we come to Mass. But such praise can also shape our daily lives. When we remember what Peter said, we are to sanctify our hearts. We are to make them open to the Holy Spirit. And the more we are receptive to the Holy Spirit, just like the plants receive the sun and the rain and so can grow, so too, when we are open to God's Holy Spirit, we know more and more the joy of discipleship because praise is at the center of how we choose to live our lives. I want to read St. Ignatius' first principle once more. God created human beings to praise, reverence, and serve God, and by doing this, to save their souls. Well, if praise is the first dimension of this principle, reverence is the second. What does it mean to revere? To revere means that we are discovering more and more that all of life is sacred, that it is a precious gift that needs to be treated with tender care. We are to live in such a way that we live with a sense of awe and wonder when we recognize the kind of world in which we have been placed. Remember, Jesus said, unless we become like little children, we cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And one of the things little children know how to do, they know how to reverence. They know how to have that sense of awe and wonder. A child looking at a ladybug, a child looking at grass, at that blade of grass, and just taken up with it. And one of the things that happens as we get older, because we are wounded by life, is we lose a sense of reverence. We lose a sense of what it is to have that kind of attitude that is saying, this world in which I live is beautiful. Yesterday, I was walking in my park near where I live. Well, it's not my park, it's the city's park, but the park near where I live. And all of the crab apple trees were in blossom. And there was just something about being there that stirred my heart, that led to both an expression of praise and thanksgiving to God for its beauty, but also a sense of reverence that this is a remarkable thing that happens every May. St. Ignatius believed that the root of all sin is ingratitude, that is, thanklessness. And the reason he said this was because when we are thankless, we lose sight of the fact that life is a gift. But when we grow in thankfulness, we see that our lives are a gift that has been given to us by God. And people who are growing in reverence are growing in gratitude. Those who grow in gratitude are growing in reverence. And here at the Eucharist, every Sunday, we come together to be thankful to God for what he has done in Christ. And then we are to go back out into the world to be a people who are learning to revere. In the epistle, St. Peter then speaks specifically about how we are to treat one another with reverence. He speaks of those who are opposing the gospel, those who are demanding of Christians, why do you believe what you believe? And they're not doing it in a comforting, inviting way. They are doing it in a way where their souls are embittered and cruel. But listen to what Peter says. Always be ready to make your defense to anyone who demands from you an accounting for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and reverence. Peter is here talking about those who oppose the Christians. And he says, when you speak to them about Jesus Christ, do it with gentleness. Do it with reverence. Now think about it this way. If we are to treat those who oppose us with gentleness and reverence, how much more should we treat those who are our spouses, our children, those who are near and dear to us? So often we can be dismissive, we can be insulting of one another. And when that happens, something takes place in our soul that breaks it. Something takes place in our relationships where rather than knowing joy, we know bitterness. But as we learn to cultivate an attitude of gentleness and reverence, and as we learn to speak with that kind of a voice, we become a people who are known for a character that is growing in Christ-likeness. Praise, reverence, and finally, St. Ignatius says in his first principle, we are to serve God. Service of God is formed by people who hear what Jesus says in today's gospel. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And what is at the heart of what St. John in his gospel says is the commandment of Jesus? To lay down our lives for one another. To learn to live so that we truly love as Christ loves us. This takes a lifetime to understand. This takes a lifetime to come to fully appropriate in our own lives. But as we learn more and more to live in this way, as we take to heart the teaching of Jesus, as we want to apply it to our lives, then in turn, we are going to become people who are learning to serve others out of our love for Christ. St. Ignatius says that as we learn to praise, as we learn to revere, as we learn to serve God, we will in turn be cooperating with Jesus Christ in the salvation of our souls. And people who know this way of life, people who are growing in this way of being, are people who know the joy of discipleship. Because we know why we're here. We know what our life is for, and we know where our life is going. Now, in conclusion, let me say this. As we live in this world, we will never completely praise, we will never completely revere, we will never completely serve God. Because we're still in these bodies, we're still in this world. But what we do understand is that heaven is all about praise. Heaven is all about reverence. Heaven is all about the service of God. Heaven is all about joy. So if you want to discover more of what the joy of discipleship is now, take to heart the teaching of St. Ignatius of Loyola. Make his mission statement your mission statement and say, I commit myself to a life devoted to praise. I commit myself to a life devoted to reverence. I commit myself to a life devoted to service. Thanks be to St. Ignatius for such a succinct statement of our life's purpose and destiny.